Well, hi, everybody. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this time we can gather together as your family, as your church. Use us, Lord Jesus. Let us listen to what you have in your word today for us, Lord. Let us concentrate on what you have and what you're telling us, Lord, and what you want us to do. And Lord, let us be obedient to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. I think I think most of you know me, but for those of you who don't, I lead worship for Open Heavens Fellowship, and sometimes for New Day Believers Church down in town. I'm really glad to be here to worship with you this morning. I've been looking forward to this. Now, I will I have kind of a free-form style, so it may not be just verse, chorus. I may sing a chorus for a few times, but the whole idea is to have a spontaneous, yeah, I'll make it complicated for her, is to have a spontaneous time of worship before the Lord that isn't bound by many of the parameters that you see. But Father in heaven, this morning as we come before your throne, we just want to tell you we love you. You're so good to us all the time, and Lord, we don't even know the things that you do for us all the time. But Lord, we want to just stand aside for a minute and just take a little bit of time, Lord, to come before you, worship your holy name, to invite your presence this morning. Lord, we know that you are good. There is no darkness or any bad thing in you. And Lord, it's beyond us. There are things about you we can't possibly understand. We know, Lord, that you are love. And because of that, Lord, we have confidence in what you have done. And Lord, we rest in you today. In Jesus' name. You is good. Okay. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is great.
Wow, thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are so good, so awesome. We thank you for your goodness. You are so great. Your mercy, your grace, your love. Wow, the fullness of your love and everything that we have in you. This truly is great. And we praise you and thank you for today. This service is yours, Lord God. And we surrender to your spirit today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonathan, are you ready to do announcements? But Debbie's going to come first. So, Debbie, are you ready? I guess the question is, are you ready?
She's not Debbie, but she wants to share
something. Hi, I'm not Debbie. But I just want to share that while we were doing the worship, I just heard this screeching sound, and the picture that I was having in the back of my mind was when Jesus crushed his heel on the enemy, and the enemy is crushed today.
Amen.
Whatever it is that's holding us back, he's been crushed today.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. She doesn't know what the message is today, and that's so appropriate. So appropriate. So.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Pathway of Hope, officially. And I just wanted to share with you, wasn't that the high praises we were in during worship. I mean, it was, we're up here, but we were up there. I really felt it. And my wife shared something about crushing the serpent's head with the Christ's heel, you know, and I was sitting there having a vision myself of, and I'll look around now, and yep, I don't see the darkness. Yeah, I saw the darkness just fleeing away, and as I look around, there's no darkness, it's just the light of the Lord. And that was what came to me, but I know the Spirit was with us, and is in us, and through us.
So, for those that were at prayer on prayer time on Tuesday nights, they know that the Lord has given me something very special for today, and it's a spiritual, powerful time today. You know that many of us are going through, we are going through the Irresistible Church, as you can on your own, and today we are going to be doing the character trait for number 5, and that is promoting healthy relationships. And I want to just go over a little bit about what we've done. Okay, the first Sunday when I took over was pray, and focusing on praying every day for Pathway of Hope. So using that Always Pray Every Day acronym, being APE, you know, Always Pray Every Day for Poe, Pathway of Hope. And then in that, remembering that as we pray, remember the acronym praise, repent, and then you're asking the Lord, but you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. And then this Irresistible Church that we are going through by Pastor Wayne Cadero, as we're referring to it, and then our own time going through it, it helps us to realize that it's us. As we become irresistible, then our church as a body becomes irresistible. And so it's irresistible to heaven and the blessings that God has for us. And by that, we learned that the first trait is to seek Him. Seek Him. Be hungry for Him. And then the second trait was remembering our identity, that we are part of the royal family, and that in that we have such an awesome inheritance. We are also soldiers, warriors for the Lord God Almighty. And we are also the bride of Christ. And then we were covering trait number 3, and that's living heart first, His heart in us and through us to others. And that is is basically fulfilling the greatest commandments. Love the Father and love others. When we love Him, we obey Him. And then we had Mission Sunday, and knowing we are not just going to be for here, but we are to reach not only in our community, but as God leads in other places in the world. We have the church that we help out in India, and we are praying for and helping as we can the church in Taiwan. And then we also are helping some local things, like we are trying to help the Catalina Food Bank. We're trying to help them out. That's local missions outreach. And then also we are going to try to help here and there promote the Family Pregnancy Care Center, which we have some bottles over here, and they are, we would love for you to grab a small one in the box, and that is to just put some change, like coffee, don't have a coffee that day, put some change in there or whatever. If you have any just loose change, put it in there. And then if you want, on Sunday, if you don't want to take a bottle with you, and or you can add to, if you want some loose change, we have the big bottle here that you can put some money in, and then we will bless them and present that to them. But we are trying to be a church that is not just self-centered, but outward focused. Because we all have that ability each and every day in the realm of influence that we have to be that light to others. But we also have that responsibility to pray for other saints. Several areas in the scriptures tell us to do that. And then we have the International Day of Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem. And we learned about how it is our responsibility and our duty and our honor to pray for the peace for Jerusalem and Israel. And I still have some paperwork over here.
And I also have a result from the Watchman's on the Wall about that day. And it's awesome. I want you to refer to this because it has some awesome, not only of here, but awesome countries around the world praising and worshiping God and praying for Israel. And there's one in India, too. So, and then they had the National Day of Prayer, the summons, that was in D.C. Over 80 prayer ministries were there on that day. So we just want to, I just wanted to show you that. And I also have the Watchman on the Wall I told you I was ordering. And so I just wanted to remind us about that. And then last week was practicing gratefulness. This week, promoting healthy relationships. So I'm going to refer some to Pastor Wayne's book. And he talks about a story. He starts out talking about a story about a man that met him at a restaurant and happened to see him. He goes, "Hey, are you Wayne Cadero?" And Pastor Wayne Cadero. And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Man, can I talk to you?" And he's a young gentleman. He goes, "Man, our church is less like flatlined." And then he starts explaining about that there was this major conflict. To me, when he said that, I was thinking of a volcano. And so that's why I brought the picture of Mount St. Helens. Because have you ever had a situation where it was like a volcano erupted? Have you ever been part of that situation? Have you been the one that was the one that erupted? Or been around and seen the results of an eruption? And and often that happens right before church. But this gentleman was saying how there was a situation at church that happened. And he goes, there was a major conflict. And so Pastor Wayne asked him what it was. And as he's explaining, he goes, "No, that volcano didn't just erupt." Or that, he didn't say volcano, I'm using volcano. He said, "That conflict didn't just erupt." So I'm going to use volcano, okay, for my illustration. That volcano didn't erupt on that day. See, that volcano erupted at, basically, that major conflict happened that day, but there was something that was building up to that. It was days, weeks, possibly even months, years sometimes, before that volcano truly erupts, as happened with Mount St. Helens. Now, he was telling him that this has often unhealthy effects. Often it has residual effects, doesn't it? Often words are spoken that are very hard to take back. But we have a God that nothing is impossible to heal, to forgive, and to restore. So I'm going to do a little bit of science education here, geology. Okay, here we have a volcano, and it's opening a rupture in a planet's surface or crust, which allows hot magma, volcanic ash and gases to escape from below the surface. Erupting volcanoes can pose many hazards, not only in the immediate vicinity of the eruption. See, when an event happens, what often happens? Well, that event, that conflict, that volcanic eruption often gets spread by word of mouth, doesn't it? Just like a volcanic eruption does a whole lot of stuff in the air, affects a whole lot of things, affects the environment. In fact, sometimes it happens where we have volcanic winters that are caused by the catastrophic famines are caused by these effects of the volcano and what has happened with the eruption. Now, I could say all these different words like, okay, the large eruptions can affect temperature as ash and droplets of sulfuric acid obscure the sun and cool the Earth's lower atmosphere and troposphere. However, they also absorb heat radiated up from the Earth, thereby warming the stratosphere. Okay, simplify. It causes major problems. It causes more than what we really see. And that is what often these volcanic eruptions that happen, major conflicts. See, now what has happened in different countries and what the United States has adopted is they have what is called volcano warning schemes. And the United States Geological Survey, USGS, has adopted a common system nationwide for characterizing the level of unrest and eruptive activity at volcanoes. The new Volcano Alert Level System classifies volcanoes now as being normal, advisory, watch, or warning stage. We have a USGS system in us, and that is the Holy Spirit. See, if we're really seeking God like we were talking about, if we're really hungry for Him, if we're really listening to Him, He will direct us of warning signals. Hello, you need to like take care of this. My blood covered that. And if you're obedient to me, you will hear this warning system so that that volcano will not erupt. In fact, no buildup will be building up in your body, which is the mountain that's having this. See, you are not building up to have it erupt. If we're listening to that warning system that we have built in us through the Holy Spirit. Wayne Cadero, when he got in his car after hearing this terrible story, which you will read about, his heart was saddened because he hears that so often. See, a pastor left the church and there was a lot of damage that had happened. And he left because of unresolved conflicts, and there was hurt feelings within the congregation that remained because of unresolved conflicts. And it was a sad thing that happened. Now, transition often has things, and sometimes things happen where you have residual effects that it wasn't like so much a conflict, but there was some change. And it affects things that are inside you, which then you don't realize, but starts building up some things. You didn't like that change. So you have some unforgiveness. And then you got some bitterness going on. And then you got some resentment going on. And this is all building together. And eventually, it'll come out in a form that is not good. It will build up in you. The songs today, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You are good. See, our God is so awesome and so good. We need to not forget about that. He has provided a way for us to be healthy and for our church to be healthy. The whole body of Christ to be healthy, to not erupt, to not have conflict. And when some challenges come the way, conflict, to properly deal with it right away, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowered by His grace, because of His love and His mercy, you are able to handle that correctly and cool it down right away so there is no buildup. Well, Pastor Wayne was talking to that gentleman and warning him about these unresolved. So they did some problem solving. They talked about things, tried to pinpoint some of the conflicts and some people that were hurt and how to bring about resolutions to that. And that is what each of us needs to do in our own lives, because we need to remember how great our God is. And there is nothing impossible for Him. Nothing too big that He can't handle. Nothing too much that He can't heal. We need to seek Him for His creative ideas, abilities, and ways to handle any situations that come our way, challenges. So, we need to remember that as we keep our life and our church in God's hands, it can be powerfully clean. By the blood of Jesus, there will be no room for any magma buildup. No magma buildup that will affect our health. No magma buildup that will affect our church's health. And no magma buildup that will affect the whole body of Christ. See, if one church is hurting, this is affecting the body of Christ. For we are all His church, those who truly believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. We need to remember to, sometimes we, as I mentioned, we need to resolve a situation, but sometimes you need to just let go. Sometimes you need to overlook a situation. You don't need to go over every single thing that has offended you. Sometimes you need to just present it to God and say, I forgive. Rest in His forgiveness as He's forgiven you. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's wrath is quickly and openly known by a prudent man. A prudent man who ignores an insult covers shame. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude. Remember, this is love. Love is not rude. Love is it does not act unbecomingly. God's love, God's perfect love in us and through us, it does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Remember, we each and every one of us are Christ followers. We need to remember our identity. We are part of the royal family. We are soldiers. We are warriors. We are the bride of Christ, and the bride of Christ needs to be spotless and ready for Christ's return, which is soon. We need to actively seek Him, as I was telling you, having that grateful heart for what He has done for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and all of His fullness we have in Him. It is by His blood, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed on the cross at Calvary, that we have the ability to live His heart. In this, how great is our God? How good. See, can you imagine if we're really truly living that every day? Like, man, we will be pumped up for the Lord. We will be like so excited. I mean, we will be like, man, nothing. Nothing's going to get me down. Because like, if somebody offends me, I'm going to forgive them. No problem. See, we will be able to respond in ways that are well-pleasing, but we need to be in the Word, being fed with the Word. And this will in turn, this powerful Word is healing and ministering to us as we claim it and pray it in us. And it will also change us to be able to respond correctly when any challenge, any conflict comes our way. And we're going to have it because God says we're going to have it in this world, but He's going to use that to perfect us, to be ready. If we're constantly ready by looking to Him, seeking Him, acknowledging the blood that was shed for us, the power that we have because of that blood, we have the power of the resurrection with us. We have the authority He has given us, and we as a church are not walking in that authority often. Not always, but we will get to that point here at Pathway of Hope where we are walking in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We will have that here, and that is how we will be, as God has given us the vision, we will be a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. We will be a light here, but only as we seek Him and only as we live by the power of His blood each and every day, covering us, flowing in us, and through us. And remember this word. It's powerful because every single cell has a memory in our bodies. And if we're allowing unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and resentment to build up, it's building magma in us. And it's getting hotter and hotter until it erupts. And then it affects so many. And it spills over and can destroy so many lives. And we have heard of churches being destroyed by this. And this church is not going to be destroyed by this. But it's not just me. It has to be all of us working together. That we are covered by, living in, freely believing in each and every day the power that the blood was shed for each and every one of us. Yes. asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that we need to confess and anything that we may have like not even realized we're taking an offense by somebody else, and so we need to release it. Because nowhere you go is it going to be perfect. No working relationship, no school relationship, no church is going to be perfect. And so we're constantly going to be needing to practice that heart of forgiveness. See, we won't be able to fulfill the greatest commandments. We won't be able to fulfill the Great Commission unless we continuously remember what He did for us each and every day and living in that power of His name. But we only have that power of His name because of His blood that was shed for each and every one of us. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, that is the Great Commission. I want to read it from 16. Often many people refer to it 18 and 19, 20, but I want to read from 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed and made appointment with them. And then when they saw him, they fell down and they worshiped him. But some doubted. But see, remember, we have a God that says, just confess your doubting to me and I'll take care of it. I'll help you with that. Help my unbelief, Lord. Help my doubt, as he did that father who was saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief that you will heal my son. And he will be there. And then Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything, all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every single occasion, to the very close and consummation of this age. Amen. So let it be. That was from the Amplified. Well, it says all authority. Remember, Jesus says, now everything that the Father has is mine, and everything that is mine I've given to the Holy Spirit, and everything that is the Holy Spirit is now yours. But by the power of the blood that was shed for us, by us living in that power each and every day and claiming the authority that we have, we can. Heaven is open for each and every one of us to go out and speak His name and speak His blood over each and every situation of our lives, of those that we love, of those that we are concerned for, of anybody that we see. We will heal others, but not us. We will be used as a vessel, as an instrument that He will heal others, I should say, corrected. We will be that vessel and instrument that we will heal others, but by the power of the name, by the power of the blood that is in us. But we have to be willing to be humble. We have to be willing to be lowly at heart. We have to be willing to be surrendered to Him, listening to the Holy Spirit, guiding and directing us when He wants us to approach somebody and pray for them and heal, and they will be healed. We need to be willing to be that vessel, to have Holy Spirit interruptions in our day, to allow Him to work in us and through us, to everybody in our sphere of influence. We need to allow that by the power of prayer. If He's asking us all of a sudden, you're doing something at home, and He's saying somebody's on your heart, somebody's been placed on your heart and your mind, then if you feel your need to stop and pray. Pop up that prayer to Him, because He receives popcorn prayer, because the blood was shed so that these popcorn prayers can be taken up to the throne room of God because of the Holy Spirit in us. The Amplified says that Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, our helper, is our strengthener, our standby, our advocate. He is our counselor, but He's also our intercessor. See, He intercedes. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray, and it says that He knows that He's got it covered, and He will intercede for us, but we have to be willing to be His servant by humbleness to Him. Otherwise, we will have eruptions. Now, some of the volcanic plate tectonics are called hotspots, and these are postulated to comprise columns of hot material that rise and form core mantle boundary. They are suggested to be hot, causing large volume melting to be fixed in space. See, this is why we need to not allow any unforgiveness and bitterness. That's These are hot spots that are building up in us. And it's going to start spewing out. Cryptodomes are formed when vicious lava forces its way up and causes a bulge. And that is what happened in 1980 at Mount St. Helens. Lava was under great pressure, and it forced a bulge in the mountain, which was unstable, and slid down the north side. Now, we all know there was great damage that happened by that. We need to keep that cool down and not even let any of those columns build up inside us and start heating up. So there was popular classifications under volcanoes when I was looking this up. And some are called active, some are called dormant, and some are called inactive, or you know, dormant or inactive is for one, the terms that they use. And then extinct is another one. Okay? Extinct volcanoes are those that scientists consider unlikely to erupt again because the volcano no longer has a magma supply. See, we can be that extinct volcano, can't we? Because most of us have admitted that we've been a volcano at one point in time. I know I have. Boy, I used to have volcano eruptions. And I still do, here and there. I do. And so this message is speaking to me too. So, but I want to be that extinct volcano. I want the scientists, God Almighty, my Father, who is the greatest scientist of all, creator of heaven and earth, and I want him to say, Karen Kelly, she is an extinct volcano. She is applying the power of my son's blood in her life, the power and the authority that she has, the fullness that I have given her through my son, through the Holy Spirit. For as we sang in that song, the Godhead, three in one, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. Yes, that is ours. And I will be labeled one day as an extinct volcano. Yep, no magma will be built up. No stony heart. No kidney stones. I mean, it will not be built up in any way, shape, or form. No hurts or offenses will be there. They cannot be heated up in my body or my soul by unforgiveness, bitterness, unresolved anger. No, I'm going to choose to start trying to be more aware and watchful by my USGS system inside me, the Holy Spirit, so that I will not erupt and I will be an extinct volcano. I don't want to even be a dormant volcano. No, it is difficult to distinguish an extinct volcano from an a dormant or inactive one because volcanoes are often considered to be extinct if there is no written records of its activity. Well, the blood of Jesus, when I keep applying it on my life each and every day, he's saying there's no written record. When I go up to the throne room of God for that judgment seat, he'll say, nope, dismissed. Dismissed. No, there's no record of wrong. Sorry, my blood covered that. There is no record of that wrong. Well, just as somebody who has offended you, Christ died for them too. And his blood can cover them. And his blood can cover you to help empower you to forgive them just as he's forgiven you. And we need to apply that so we can be that extinct volcano. But some volcanoes, nevertheless, may remain dormant for a long period of time. See, some people may have had that problem, but if they're not constantly seeking the Lord, seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance, then they're not going to have that USGS system turned on. And so then there could be warning lights going off and they don't realize it. And they're not ready. And then that dormant will erupt. We don't want to be that. We want to constantly be an extinct one, that the blood has wiped out any record of wrong, has wiped out any offense that we may have, any bitterness, any unforgiveness. It is totally and completely gone. And that's why Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 says, you know, he wants us to be together to help encourage each other. We're supposed to lovingly help each other to be that warning system. We're part of the USGS system. We are, and we need to help each other. And maybe in your talking, you don't even realize you have an offense. Well, God will use other people to say, you know what? I think, let's pray, because I think we need to help you a little bit on this. And so be allowed, though, be humble to be allowed to allow that USGS system to come in, the Holy Spirit, and help you as you seek Him to apply that blood, to forgive, and let Him restore. Now, sometimes God will have you go to a counselor. Sometimes you need a little bit more help, and that's by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Only do that as you're led, and then pray for God to guide and direct you. You may need some more help. You may need some accountability, and ask a friend to pray, because sometimes it takes a while. Your heart really truly wants to forgive, but man, sometimes when you think about that situation or somebody, you still get this hurt. And so that means there's more of that stony heart that needs to be chipped away. But God can do that by His blood. He can soften it and chip it away. There was a singer years ago that had a song, and it went, "My heart is a stone and He's chipping away, and every little chip is making me okay." And we need to have God to continue to do that heart surgery as we're surrendering to Him, so He can continue to soften our heart, to be filled with compassion, to be filled with His love, as 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. See, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, never boils over with jealousy, is not boastful, or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love, in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful, it takes no account of evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong." And then in verse 7, "Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening." Why? Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because, as Philippians 4 continues to talk about, all His glorious riches are ours to help us for every need that we have. We can do this only by the power of the blood of Jesus in us and through us, applying it in our lives. That is how we can bear up under anything, claiming His promises. There's an African proverb that says, "Alone you can go faster, but together you can go further." God's word and vision for Pathway of Hope. Once again, receive what I am about to do for Pathway of Hope. It will be called a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. I will dwell there as my daughter, and each and every one of you, as we welcome His Holy Spirit. But only as we do that. Now, there were great leaders. We have examples of that in the Bible. We have Moses, Joseph, David. We also have examples here in America. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. But they were great leaders. But they could not accomplish what they did without everybody in unity, who were surrendered to God, allowing God to use them in a way that was well-pleasing to Him. They honored authority, and they honored one another, and they honored Him first of all. They sought Him. Now, many of us know Benjamin Franklin, right? Now, he was a great inventor. He was a great man. He was a man of action. And he says there's 14 lessons about what we should apply to our lives. And he says it in a way to get what you want, but what I want to apply it to is to receive the fullness of God and to live each and every day in the fullness of God. So one of the lessons he says is never leave leave alone today, tomorrow, which can be done today. So never leave till tomorrow what can be done today. God wants us to continuously remember His blood. And He wants us to apply that blood each and every day. In that, we can move and take action always for Him, because we will always be empowered. We will not be hindering the Holy Spirit in any way, shape, or form. We will not be provoking the angels that He has surrounded us in any way, shape, or form. We will not be doing that as we continuously are willing to take care of today and not leaving it to tomorrow. By taking care of today, we are applying the blood and the power that we have today, each and every day. All mankind is divided into three classes. There are those, He says, that are immovable, those that are movable, and those that move. Wise words that Benjamin Franklin said, isn't it true? See, we need to move and take action by the blood of Jesus in us and through us. And we need to help those that are maybe kind of like struggling a little bit, but they're movable because of the fact that they love the Lord God too. They're just not really realizing that they've kind of become immovable, kind of stopped, you know. And so we need to make sure that they are movable. See, immovable is not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. It's not believing in Jesus Christ. It's not believing in the power of His blood and what He applies to us. Movable believes it, believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're just kind of like stuck a little bit. And they need a little push to help them move, get back into that moving action of the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 says, "You have come to Jesus. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel." We need to remember that as in John 14, verse 13, it says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." I can't speak today. "So that the Son may bring glory to the Father," in other words. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But it says after that, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit." See, we have to be surrendered to that Holy Spirit who is ours. We need to be able to move. So then we can be, as the Great Commission says in verse 18, we can take that all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to us. We can remember, as John 16 says in verse 15, "All things that the Father has are mine." And then he goes on to say, "And what is mine, I've given to the Holy Spirit, is given to us." We need to remember that that blood, as Colossians 1:19 and 20 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things unto him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross for each and every one of us." John 15, verse 5 says, "Yes, I am the vine," Jesus says, "you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." There was a word spoken at the Leadership Development Program that said, that Pastor Jerry Dearman said, and we had Evelyn claim it for our church, because I was thinking, "Oh, Lord, bless another church, bless them and help them." But thankfully, Evelyn was thinking, and so she says, "Lord, I'm going to claim that for our church." And he spoke the word. He said this was for a church that was present there, and we were there. "The barrenness in Samaria is over." And then God started speaking volumes after that. And things started happening, and I shared it to the group. One thing that my son, it started on a Thursday night, my son, after this leadership development program, that Thursday night after we got back, my son, who rarely, you know, texts me, he said, "Mom," he goes, "this is this has been coming to my mind, and it's Galatians 6:9. And it says, do not grow weary in doing good, for you will reap if you do not lose heart. And then he goes on saying some other verses. And then God wakes up Paul with a prophetic dream. And then later that night, we are prophesied over at CCE when we go hear the evangelist, Dick Joyce, and Ricardo, as he is known. And a prophet. And he prophesied over us. He saw something when he saw us, and he prophesied over us. It wasn't just, it was us, it was our church. And then we had talked about on Sunday morning after service, a guest came and told me what they saw after the service. And then we started sharing this at the leadership and the council meeting. And at the council meeting, we were talking about this, and then this all came about, and then some other things were coming up about our church. The barrenness now is over today. But we have a challenge before us. See, there is a woman, and I have shared this quite some time ago when we did the Lord's Supper. There's this woman in Africa, and it's actually her story is in this book called The Calling. And I was led to it this week because God's speaking to our church. And he reminded me about Jennifer Miller, a missionary, a young lady, a missionary in Africa, in Kenya. And the Lord spoke to her one time, and there was challenges in this area that she was at. And he says, you are totally and completely inadequate. And don't ever forget it. It's your greatest strength. Are you willing to rely on me for a strategy? Do you still believe that I used David's to take down Goliath? Do we? I'm asking you, as part of the family of the Lord God, do you? Do you ever feel inadequate? I do. As we're surrendered to him, we will see miracles like that happen. But we as a church body, as a body of Christ, we need to surrender to him and his leading. We need to say, we are weak. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, so for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities and insults and hardships and persecutions and perplexities and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful, in divine strength. We will see as we're surrendered to God, him work in ways that we don't even realize, we can't even come up with in our mind. But as we humble ourselves and are submitted to him and that blood, the power of the blood, that is when we will see him work. And he will give us the strategies. He will give us his plan. Because we're going to step into that stronger covenant as she did for this village that was terribly struck by famine and barrenness. Many curses were on that land and that region. But she gathered the leaders together by the following of the Holy Spirit and the people together. And they claimed the power of the new covenant blood. So I want to take this time. Richard, can you please come up? And I want to have you fill out on this card any offenses, any things that you need to forgive and claim the power of the Lord over. I have pens if you need pens. Richard's going to play some worship music for us during this time. And so I want you to anything that you can think of, any offenses, any hurts, you can even, I'm not going to look at them. We are going to put it over here and we are going to cover it with the blood. We are going to do the Lord's Supper over this. We're going to claim the power that by his stripes, these are all healed. They are restored, and by his blood, the power of his blood, it is cleansed, it is made whole. So we're going to claim this. If you want a pen, go ahead. You can just initial. Even if you just want to do shorthand and initial, you know what you're writing down. Just maybe a first letter for a word or something. You know what you're writing down. This is between you and God. So, Ray? So anything that you can think of, anything that's coming to your mind, as As if you want to sing and worship too, you can, but Richard's going to just lead us in this time. And then I want you to be ready to come up. Heavenly Father, I kneel before you, Lord God, and I claim 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 for each and every one of us here, Lord God. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement and well-founded hope through his grace, comfort and encourage your hearts and strengthen them, making them steadfast and keep them unswerving in every good work and word that you speak. May it all be glorifying to him for his glory. I thank you and praise you, Lord God. Thank you. We claim that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.